Greetings in Jesus' name. I've enjoyed being here. Something about a small group has good memories for me, and kind of long for it sometimes. And I remember back to some of our first Bible boot camps, just a small group about this size, and just I have very good memories of that. I think it's healthy just to, it's a blessing. There's blessings of having a bigger group and by having other people come in, but I think it's really healthy. It's really healthy for us to just be able to come aside, just ourselves, and seek God together. I have some papers, if y'all want to pass those out here, just something to fill out and go along with us as we go this go throughout the message this morning. Yeah, I tremble. These teachings have been a difficult one for me to teach. It's a touchy issue. I'm sometimes afraid that I'll do it wrong or... Yeah, it's a delicate subject, so I appreciate y'all's prayers for me in preparation for this. And I'm not here today because I've studied this thoroughly and that I'm an authority on the subject by any means. We were kind of desperate at home to get someone to teach on it. We couldn't find anyone, so I ended up teaching on it, and then it kind of went from there. And so it was more of a need that we had and not that I have it all together. And I'm going to be showing a few things and playing a few things here. And I want to open myself up to the ministry here. Feel very free to correct, balance, adjust anything that I say. And feel free to give me input as well. And I'm not very used to PowerPoint and these types of things. And so I might mess up. If we do, we'll just kind of find our way and keep going. So, worship or entertainment? Let's just stand our feet and we'll ask the Lord's blessing here on the message here this morning. Father in heaven, we want to commit this hour to you. Lord, I just want to lay myself before you. Here I am, take me. Would you cause this to be a blessing and to be a help, Father? Lord, this is an important subject, and it's a very powerful subject. I just want to lay myself before you and just ask that you would have your way and bless this time and bless these dear young people. Lord, I pray that you would, they could walk in your grace and your smile and your blessing. They could prosper. They could make wise choices in this very critical time of their life, Father. Just help them in all areas of life. But Lord, we're thinking now of this area of music and it's the power that it has on us. We pray that you would bless them, that this could somehow be a little help in some way. Just help us to be able to really grasp these core principles that we will seek to look at here this morning. Help me to speak with clarity and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So why is music important? There was a man, I don't know who he was, his name was Xu Qing, and he lived 6th century B.C. So would that be 600 years before Christ? Or 600 years into history of world, before Christ? B.C. So 600 years before Jesus came, this man, Xu Qing, says, "For changing people's manners and customs, nothing is better than music." Do y'all believe that this morning? For changing people's manners and customs, there's nothing better than music. If that's true, do you think God is concerned about that? And if it's true, do you think the devil is concerned about that? Because he knows what you listen to, what you feed on in the area of music, nothing is more powerful than music. For changing manners and customs, for changing people, nothing is better than music. You go to town and you listen to the music that's played, and you see how they live. You know, there's a connection there. It affects people's manners and customs, what you listen to. Here's a little book I read by John Coblins, Music and Biblical Perspective. I'll read a little bit out of here, just here in the introduction. He says here, why does man sing? This brings us to a basic reason for singing, which underlies all the former. To grasp it, we must consider what music is beyond mere speaking. I'm speaking now, but there's something different when there's music. Singing is different than speaking. Music must be composed. It does not just happen from within as easily as spoken words. Music requires skill effort and discipline. Because of that dimension of music, we do not normally write songs about what is trivial. We may sing of small things. Some of the songs you hear are pretty trivial, right? We may sing of small things, but only because we've seen in them something significant. Stated another way, those things which mean most to the heart of man will be the things you most want to sing about. Since man sings about what is meaningful to him, and since music requires effort and discipline, man, get this, man puts something of himself into his song. Man, and I think we should get that. Man, that's why music is important, because there's something, I don't know, from soul to soul. You know, when you listen to a certain group, there's something of their values, what's important to them, how they view life that's transmitted to you. If you listen to the Hostetlers, my wife's family, you'll pick up from them what's important to them. If you listen to Buddy Davis, or you know, you can name it, you know, the Gaithers, or you know, whoever else. If you listen to them, their value system will be transmitted to you. That's why music's important, because something of themselves is put in that song, and as you listen to that, you feed on that. It affects your manners and customs. Socrates said, let us write the words, this is a Greek philosopher, I believe, years and years ago, let us write the words to the music of our nation, and we care not who writes its laws. That's a powerful statement. He says, I don't care who writes, write the laws, whatever you want. But if we can write the words to the music of our nation, that'll have more of an effect on our nation than the laws. And bring that home to church. You bring that home to church, what you young people are listening to is more important than what's decided here at Brothers Meeting. It is. What you as the next generation are listening to is more important. It'll override any decision that the elders make in Brothers Meeting. Because you can't control that. But because the music will affect your manners and customs. And you can, the church rules can be whatever they want them to be. But the music you listen to will override that. Aristotle, another Greek philosopher, says music directly represents the passions or states of the soul. Gentleness, anger, courage, temperance. He says if one listens to the wrong type of music, he will become the wrong type, kind of person, and vice versa. So these old men, way back in the day, said music, if you listen to the wrong music, it'll make you live wrong. And if you listen to the right kind of music, it'll affect you in a positive way. Okay, let's go on into the message here. Do you ever wonder why it is you can go wherever you want to go in the world? Who all has been in other countries? Let me raise your hands. Do they sing in those countries? Do they have music? They do. You know, you can go wherever you want to go. You can go to the north, you know, as far north, far south, to the, any part of the world. And there's music, there's singing. Why is that? You wonder why that is? Any thoughts? I don't know all the reasons for that, but I believe one of the reasons is, probably the main reason is because I believe God loves music. And who made music anyway? Who created it? Well, man has somewhat, but in the very, very beginning, and there the story of the downfall of Lucifer, he was made, it was a created being that had pipes in him, it seems. And he was a living musician, a living being that made music, it seems. And God made that. And I believe one of the reasons that man loves to sing wherever you go is because we're made in the image of God. And God loves to sing. God loves music. You see it there in the very, very beginning. You see it in the institution of the Old Testament worship. They sang, they worshiped. There was singing there. Jesus sang with his disciples, did he not? There that night before he went out to the garden, he sang with his disciples there. We're commanded in the New Testament to sing. God sings in Zephaniah 3:17. It says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So God sings. Heaven will be full of singing. So from the very beginning to the end of the Bible, we see singing and worship. God loves music. He created it. It is going on in His presence, is it not? As we speak now, I believe there's music and worship in heaven. Amen? And it will be a big part of what goes on for all eternity. Music is something that God created for His praise and glory. So, if God created music and God loves music, do you think God has an opinion on music? You know, do you have certain tastes? You know, people have those tastes. I don't like that kind of stuff, you know. Or I like this. Do you think God has, there's certain music He's okay with? As we worship Him from our hearts, He just soaks it up. He loves it. And there's other stuff that He despises. I believe so. I believe if God created music and God loves music, we see it all through the Bible, I believe God has an opinion on music. Any amens on that? I wonder what the music of heaven must sound like, you know? Wouldn't you love to hear it? I believe it'd be the most pure and beautiful music you could ever imagine. Purest, most absolutely beautiful music of heaven. God loves music, and I believe God has an opinion on music. Okay, I want to look a little bit now at worship. So I'll go ahead and turn this on here. We're not quite ready to look at some things, but that's kind of the title for today. And that's really the underlying focus of this whole message here, looking at what true worship really is versus entertainment, right? Those two things. Because I think if we can really get this message today, I believe it'll really help us in discerning proper music and worship and deciding between groups, what groups are okay to listen to and what groups are not. So what is worship? Is worship an emotional experience? That's a kind, you know, yes, but not completely, right? Yeah, I love it when I'm alone with God. My heart lifts up and I worship God. It is emotional and I believe God loves that. Worship should be in what? What's the two elements of worship? The Father seeks worshipers and they that worship Him must what? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. So there is that spiritual element that I think maybe has, that I think will have some emotion too. I believe worship will have feeling. I believe there should be life in our relationship with God. Amen. I believe there should be life and there should be some passion there towards God. And you know, I love that. But is that just what it is? Is it just a feeling? I'm asking. No, it's not. It's more than that. Is our life affected to it? Is our life connected to it? I believe it is. I believe our whole life is connected to it. I was surprised. I looked up the word definitions in the word worship in the Strong's. I have one of the definitions there in your paper there. That's the one in the New Testament. So in the Bible you have New and Old Testament. So the Old Testament definitions are from the Hebrew and the New Testament are from the Greek. So the one you have there I think is from the New Testament, so from the Greek. But I'll read the one in the Old Testament Hebrew definition of worship. And I was surprised as I looked at this because I think in our modern world, you know, we see these albums with the hands raised and all the lights and all that stuff. And we see, you know, people out in the fields with their hands raised, you know, and all this worship stuff. And I'm not knocking necessarily all of that. And so we think of worship a lot of as a feeling, don't we? We really do. I think, at least I do. We look at it more as a feeling. And but as I looked at the Bible, how the Bible defines worship, I was surprised. I'll read the one in the Old Testament Hebrew definition here, and then we read the one there you have. It says to depress. What's depress? That's getting low, right? Prostrate. Especially reflexively in homage to royalty or God. So you get very low. You get very low. Bow self down. Crouch. Fall down flat. Humbly beseech. Sounds a little bit like what Brother Mickey was talking about, right? Yes, Dad. Prostrate oneself. Okay, I'm hanging on, hang on. Do obeisance, do reverence, make to stoop, worship. So a lot of words of getting low, humility, in the presence of one who's far greater than myself. That's worship. Years there in the New Testament, Strong's. It says, probably a derivative of another word, meaning to kiss like a dog licking its master's hands. And I got a picture right here I like of a dog licking its master's hands. You can see the tongue there coming out a little bit, right? And we'll come back to that. To fawn or crouch to. Fawn means to show submission or fear, literally or figuratively. Prostrate oneself in homage, do reverence to, adore, worship. So I was surprised as I saw all these, so many words of getting low in the presence of one who is my master. I lick his hand like a dog. I love him, but yet God's in heaven. And this fear that Brother Mickey was talking about, that goes, you know, worship, brothers and sisters, is tied right in there with that. That is at the core of true worship. Yeah, you might adore him and raise your hands, and God, I'm all for that. I do that. And there might be love and affection well up in your heart, and it should be. But it's connected to this attitude right here. It is. If this is missing, it's just an emotional experience with no depth to it. And God, if our lives are out of order, God will not receive our worship. So I think it's very important to have a proper understanding of worship as we look at the subject of music. Notice all the words of humility, fear, and subjection in those definitions. God is in heaven and we are upon earth. He is great and we are mere dust and ashes. But yet we reach up and we kiss his hand. What do the angels do? As you know, those revelations you see of some of those in the prophets, and they saw God high lifted up, and the angels, the seraphims were about there. What were they crying? Holy, holy, holy. What were they doing? They had six wings. They covered their face in the presence of God. They covered their feet, and the other two they flew with. And they cried, holy, holy. That's how heaven acts in God's presence. How should we be as we think of worshiping our great God? Turn to Psalms 5, verse 7. I haven't had you look at the scripture yet. Psalm 5, verse 7. Psalm 5, verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. The angels cover their face and cry, holy, holy. How much more should we come in fear and before him? Turn to Psalm 99. Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. You know, one thing I thought about as I've thought about this subject of music, young people, is think about the music you like to listen to. Think about, you know, okay, hope you have some things in mind. Hope you think of some albums, some songs, some of your favorites. Now think about those angels there covering their face. Think about, and they're crying, holy, holy. And could you imagine those angels singing your songs? Could you imagine the angels singing those songs? I think if we get a hold of this thing of who God is and what worship really is, it'll help us a long ways as we think about the subject of music. Think about the repulsion it must be to God When we come to worship Him and our lives run holy and unyielded to Him. Jesus says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And I don't, we men can imagine this, I think. You know, we really soak up honor from our wives. You know, that's what really makes us feel loved, when they honor us. You know, but think about some wife who's just out of order. Her, you know, she's all the time saying, I love you, honey. I love you, honey. But she does exactly opposite of what he says. Over all day long, but yet all day she's, I love you, honey. I love you, honey. And, you know, that we can't compute that. And then, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And so what I'm building on here is there's a lot of groups out there, and their music is readily available to us, and they have a lot of worship. But are they really in line with the Word of God? Does God accept their worship? Is it worship or is it entertainment? In Isaiah 1, verse 11 says, to what purpose is a multitude of your sacrifices to me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings. So they had a lot of worship going here. They were offering sacrifice. They were coming before the Lord. And, you know, God, why don't you accept our offerings? We're worshiping you, God. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this? I'm sorry, my verse 12 here. I think I skipped some verses. I'm full, verse 11. I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. When your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Think about that. We're here to worship God, and He just turns His face away. I can't take it. You have a lot of nice things you're saying, but your lives are out of order. Your hands are, okay. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So, I asked the question earlier, is music, what is worship? Is it a feeling? It's more than an emotional feeling at a service. Our whole life and how we live throughout the week is connected to it. It has to do with our will being surrendered. That dog. Yes, master. He licks the hand. But there's a subjection to a master there with it. I'd like to look a little bit about, I'll wait on that. Where do you think the word worship first appears in your Bibles? And those of you that heard this before, don't answer. Where do you think worship first appears? The word worship. If you look it up in the concordance, where would you first find it? Anyone know? It appears right here. You look up worship in the Bible, that's where you first find worship. And think about that story. Think about that dog licking its master's hand. You know, the promised son, Abraham waited for a long time. And now God finally gives it. And then God says, one night, Abraham, go sacrifice your son. And Abraham gets out, wasn't the very next morning, right? He gets up and he saddles his donkey and they head out, and I think it's 3 days' journey. I mean, you know, talking about a yes, master attitude. It was. And they go, I think after the third day or however long it was, he tells the rest of the group there, he says, y'all wait here. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Brothers, that was, you think God accepted that worship? He did. God was pleased with that because Abraham's life was a life that was yielded to God. That was worship. I am glad we'll go yonder to worship. The most difficult thing Abraham ever did. I am glad we'll go yonder and worship. He obeyed God. And think about, compare that with King Saul. You know, We look at Saul in the Bible and we see him as a very ungodly man, don't we? And he was. But I believe to people around Saul, those that were perceptive probably knew it, but I believe to the common people, Saul appeared like a very religious man. Think about all his disobediences. They all had to do with worship. They did. He offered a sacrifice there when he got tired of waiting. And so he was a very religious man. The one time he went down there and it says he also prophesied. I mean, I think people viewed Saul as pretty spiritual. He was down there prophesying there at Gilgal or wherever it was, I think. So he was a very spiritual man. And his first disobedience there, as he pushed himself and offered that sacrifice, disobeyed God, it had to do with worship. The next time there, I may be getting the stories confused, there when they were not didn't kill all the animals, right? They spared the king. That also had to do with worship, didn't it? He says, we spared it to worship before the Lord your God. So he was pardon me for saying this, but I think Saul would have made a pretty good modern day worship leader. If I can say it that way. He knew how to do it. He knew how to look spiritual. But yet his life was out of order. He says there, after he finally admits his guilt, he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me. He's finally backed into a corner. He says, yes, I've sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So he was big on worship. But did God accept Saul's worship? Or do you think he turned his eyes? I believe he turned his eyes. I believe it was a repulse to him. Because Saul, get your life in order and then come worship me. I believe it was what God said. Saul, God rejected him. But God does seek true worshipers. I touched on that already. I believe God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. It says that. To show himself strong on the behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward him. So God is looking. God is looking for people who have hearts turned towards him. Hearts that are perfect towards him. And Jesus told the Samaritan woman there, he says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Young people, God is looking up and down these rows. And I believe God is looking for a young man or a young woman who just loves to get alone with God. Out there in the woods. Just you and God. No show. Nobody you're trying to compete with. No record you're trying to sell. But you're there. And God is looking. God is looking for young people who have that kind of heart that will get along with him and worship him in spirit and truth. Father, I yield my life to you. Father, I love you. Work in my life that I can be a vessel that you can use. And you worship God. God is looking for those. And when he finds one, he'll attach himself to that person. He'll walk with you. He'll come. And he'll make his abode with you. He'll sup with you and you with him. And it'll change your life. And young people, if you can get a hold of that, if you can get a hold of what it really means to know God, to fear God, as Brother Mickey was saying, and to worship God, that'll be a huge safeguard for you getting into the wrong music. It really will. Because there was a time... In our at home, when there was a little bit of more CCM type music that was coming in there, and I'm not trying to lift myself up at all, but I had the privilege of being able to experience some of that in the presence of God and loving God and just in His presence is fullness of joy, and you understand a little bit of the fear of God, and I just something in me knew that stuff just don't fit in the presence of God. Had experienced what I believe was true worship in an honoring way to God. And something about that stuff, it just will not fit in the presence of God. God won't accept that. It's not pure. And it wasn't like someone said, nope, necessarily, I don't think so. But it was I knew in my heart that that just would not fit. So I think if you can get a hold of what it really means to be alone with God, worship God, be yielded to Him, it'll be a huge safeguard against wrong music. In His presence is fullness of joy, and His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Seek to know this God, love Him, devote your life to Him, fellowship with Him. Learn the delight of being alone with God. It'll be a real safeguard against wrong worship, a false worship. Okay, let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about purity in worship. Yes, trying to figure out how to go into this here. Yeah, I just stick to my notes, I believe. There's a bird that we have. so we have some mockingbirds. That's not a mockingbird there, by the way. I know that. I'm not sure what it is there. I just found a bird picture. But there's a mockingbird we have sometimes in the summer mornings. And just out there, it's still dark, early morning, and that bird is just singing its heart out. And I don't know why it does it. It's just maybe it's the way God made it to do. But there's something I want to talk to you about: sincerity and purity in worship. There's something about a bird that just speaks to me. Because this mockingbird out there, all alone, it's dark. There's no other birds singing really, and it's just singing to God. And there's just a purity there. It's not competing with anybody. It's not trying to put on some show and outdo anyone else. It's not one that'll exalt itself. It's just doing what God made it to do. I believe God's pleased with that. And I want to lift that up here for us. And I heard John D. preach on it. And also, I read this book here. If y'all want a deep book to read on music, I would really recommend this book, Confronting Contemporary Christian Music. It's by Dr. H.T. Spence. It's a very deep, it's a philosophical book. It's not necessarily easy reading, but I really appreciate where he comes out on it. Confronting Contemporary Christian Music. And he, as well as John Dee, said that for years and years, Christian music was not what it is today. For years and years, there wasn't any means to record it, right? And maybe you would sing in church. You would sing before revival meetings, maybe. And they were moody, I think, during those meetings. He would preach, but then I think it was Sankey would sing. And that's a lot, probably not exclusively, but that's a lot what Christian music was. But in the last 100 years or so, Christian music has really changed. And now you can record. And now it almost seems like, brothers and sisters, that Christian music is almost competing with secular to sell albums, to put on a good show, do concerts. And it used to not be that way. Something changed, according to these brothers, in the recent 100 years or so. And so I want to play a little something here. And I'm not necessarily recommending that this is the ideal music to listen to. So I'm not quite this conservative if you think this is what I'm promoting here. But to me, this is bird-like. And this recording I'm going to play is Darlene, my wife's grandma. Okay, she's dead now with the Lord. Godly old lady. It's way back in 1950, 1952, 53, 54, before my father was ever born. Okay? What you're going to hear is an old recording. It was recorded on an old 8-track, and somehow they got these saved, and this Darlene's grandma's nephew gave us a copy of this. And so these were three sisters. I think is one of them alive still? Or they're all gone. I'm not sure. One's alive. They're all gone. So all these ladies here that you'll hear have died. But there was some revival meetings going on, and these three ladies were asked to sing. These young girls asked to sing, and what I like about this, it's not high quality, it's not anything might turn you off, but to me, there's something very pure about this, very heartfelt, and it's very bird-like, if I can use it that way. So, let's see if I make this thing. So singing at revival meetings there. So there you have it. Just a little clip. These three, they're all gone now. But there are these revival meetings. They're singing. Have you left the world behind? And there's something simple, something pure, something heartfelt to me that comes out of that. That I think, that I believe is pleasing to God, and that I believe is so absent in a lot of our entertainment songs today. You know, there's a story of Jesus in the Gospels there. The story of when Jesus went in there into the temple. And there was this in the temple there, what was supposed to be a place of worship, a place of teaching, a place of where God was honored. And here there was money changers, and there's all kinds of stuff. It had become a big den of thieves, is what he called it. And he went in there and he cleaned house. He turned over the tables of money, the seats of them that sold doves, and he drove out the oxen. He cleaned house, and then he went in there. And then the lame people came in there. The blind people came in there. And he ministered to them and he healed them. And the little children saw what happened. And you know, here's grandpa that couldn't walk for who knows how long. And Jesus healed him. Here's uncle so-and-so that was blind. And Jesus healed him. And the children are just... And they say, Hosanna to the Son of David. And they're just... They're exalting and they're worshiping Jesus. And the chief priests and the scribes, they saw what's happening and they said, tell them to be quiet. And what did Jesus say about that? What did he say? He says, Have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast what? Perfected praise. So we asked earlier, do you think God has an opinion on music? Do you think God's opinion on music? And God has given us a little peek right here into what he values. And it's that childlike, simple, bird-like worship. And they didn't care who criticized them. They just loved Jesus. And they were just so in awe at what Jesus did. And it just came out of them. And I don't think there was any competition, you know, among them. But it was just about their love for Jesus. And Jesus says, that right there is perfect praise. Compare that with a lot of what you hear today. Does it fit? Do you think God accepts it? Can we use that as a little bit to gauge what his opinion might be on worship? And I have a little video clip here of Jubilee. This is Jubilee when she was... I don't know how old she was, but she's, what, almost 10 now? So this is years ago. And here's Jubilee singing. And no one there. She's just having church. You got the Bible there and some song books.
You're singing.
So that's just a little clip there of something I thought might, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. No show, no ostentation, no one she's trying to compete with, outdo, no record she's trying to sell or make a hit. I'm not saying we have to do an ugly or sloppy job with our singing. I appreciate good, well-done singing. I really do. I'm just trying to make a point here of what maybe God, some of God's opinion. What does God think about music? What is his taste? What does he say is acceptable? Our worship needs to be pure. The purity of worship is a lot of what makes up its beauty. So that was... That was a little bit there, and I want to just do a little comparisons here. Maybe just keep that that backdrop of what I believe is true worship, God's, you know, a right attitude, obedience, fear, and simplicity, purity. And let's just compare a little bit about what we see out there. What is offered to us, even in the name of Christianity. So keep that backdrop in mind. And so here's what some feel is worship. And it's obviously a Christian concert. Win this nation back. Set your church on fire. It says there. So it's probably a lot of emotion there, isn't it? A lot of intense feelings and drama. But is it necessarily worship? I don't believe so. I believe God probably turns his eyes from those things. Another one here, the greatness of our God, probably a lot of good words being said there. But you know, if it wasn't for some of those banners, we wouldn't know what it is, would we? We wouldn't know whether it's Christian or not. And I might just throw in here, you know, where do they get the ideas of the lights and the smoke? You know, is that from reading their Bibles? Or maybe they get the ideas of the lights and the smoke from looking over here, do you think? And they're trying to have a Christian version of what the world does, don't you think? So should we be feeding on that type of stuff? Not at all, not at all. So here, I'm going to play a clip here of another one here just to... anyone heard of the Gaithers? Gaithers. Do y'all think we should be listening to the Gaithers? Are all their songs bad? No, I'm not saying all their songs are bad. I think I've sung some of their songs, and there's probably some songs I appreciate. But these things can so easily come in. But you know, remember what I said about when you listen to the Hostetlers? I'm not trying to promote my family, my in-laws' CDs necessarily. But when you listen to a certain group, what's important to them feeds to you, and it affects what? Our manners and customs, I think it said. It'll affect us. And so if you listen to the Gaithers and you, what they value will affect you. It'll affect your life. So just, you know, watch this and you decide whether we should be, whether their values are going to be healthy for us. Hit it twice, I guess. I couldn't hear it very good. I guess y'all probably could if the speakers went that way. That's fine. But, you know, long hair. And, you know, it seems like no regard for what God might think about those things, right? No regard. And, you know, and Bill himself really, you know, really speaks highly of... the one singer there, the long-haired fellow, he really sings his praises and lifts him up as just a really outstanding Christian that he really appreciates. And so, yes, I don't believe them or that type of music that where the life is out of order, where there's no regard, it seems like, to what the Bible says about how we should practically live. That fellow there, he sings. He's happy to sing for country artists as well. Just, you know, wherever he can sell an album, it seems like, is what he's concerned about. And add Christian words, sure, that's great. Let's have a good old time. It seems to be what they are promoting. And just in a very, very, very absence of this, I love you, Master, attitude. Fear of God. And so I believe, young people, if you feed on that type of music or anything else, and you know, those values will affect your life as well. So it seems like instead of having a simple, childlike, bird-like attitude, and they're singing, With a sincere focus on honoring God, many of these groups have their focus on some other worldly group or style of singing and are copying them in an effort to promote themselves. So it's more about promoting myself than about promoting God. When we focus on trying to be like some other group or promote ourselves, our worship ceases to be that childlike, perfect praise. Amen? The downfall of Israel over and over in the Old Testament was adopting the way of worship of the people around them. Did y'all get that? Adopting the way of worship of people around them, and that was what cut them off from the blessing of God. It is still happening in the church today, and I believe it's just as repulsive to God. The church is trying to worship Him like the idolatrous nations around us. Okay, I should move on here. One thing I want to hear towards the end to try to bring out to us is this thing of, how do I say it? Okay, you have, I'll just jump into it. You have way out, you know, actually it's not that far out there, but out there you have the secular, ungodly music, right? And then you have these groups that do all the lights and do all that too, and they have a Christian version of that, right? We call that CCM, Christian Contemporary Music, Christian Rock. And then, let's follow this here. What I'm getting at is there's a line. Okay, you have the all out wicked music out there. Then you have the Christian version of it with all its instruments, and it's the same style. Everything is very basically the same except Christian words. And then you have over here you have a cappella versions of the same thing, right? Same types of songs sung the same way with the same sensual. Impure sound, and God's people buy those and listen to them. And it's connected to this, and that's connected to this. And it moves us in that direction. You follow that? Do you follow what I'm saying there? It does. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with my brother Nathan. My own brother Nathan. He was really into Hillel. How do you say that? Hillel? He really liked that. And we, as a family, we decided not to listen to that. And I think he somewhat submitted outwardly, but not in his heart. He didn't die to that. It still lived in his heart. And he later got into it. And guess what? It didn't stay with Hillel. It went into the CCM. It went into Christian rap. And he listens to Christian rap today. I'm not trying to badmouth him, but I'm saying it moves us in that direction. And, because it's not the real thing. It's a copy. And it takes us that way. So you have that with the rock, but then you also have it with country. You have your country music out there with its sensual fleshly message. Then you have the Christian groups that copy the same style and performance. And God's people buy their music and listen to it. And it's not pure, separate worship. It connects us to the stuff that it's copied from, and it moves us in that direction away from a pure, holy, separate life. You have the Southern Gospel groups out there and the Bluegrass groups who put on their Let's Have a Good Old Time concerts like we just saw there. Then you have these Mennonite quartets who it seems like they're probably lit because they sing the same songs. They sing them the same way. They're a cappella. But it's just a copy of that. And it's not that pure, separated worship. That makes sense. That makes sense. I'll play you a few examples of that. So here's Hillel. And did you know that Hillel offers both instrumental and a cappella music? They do. And it's shocking. It's shocking. It shocked me when I realized that. Because this is Hillel music right here. Is it playing right? Okay, because it just sounds disordered here, but that's fine. So that's Christian rock. But then, you know, if you're more conservative, you can listen to this.
He has shared in our humanity, so that by his death he might defeat
But each one is a copy. At the head of that stream is the devil's music. And it takes people in that direction. I've heard people say that after a while they realize they just were, it was a fake. You know, they weren't listening to real stuff, and they just moved on into the secular. And it takes us that way. I believe we should not be listening to that type of music. Even the a cappella versions here. You have, you know, there's praise and harmony. There's watershed worship. Different ones. And I will say maybe early on, I have listened to some praise and harmony that has a pure sound. But most of it now, I think we should stay very clear from it. And praise and harmony offers you a cappella rap. It's these cool dudes there with their bad look, and they're just, you know, and it's a cappella rap. But it's, and you know, if they offer all that, should we be sitting at their table? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Here's another one here that I think Mennonites enjoy. Watershed worship. Essential sound. It's the copy. It's not pure. Watershed worship. That was a new one to me, but someone gave me their music to go through to purge, and it was on there, so I kept a copy of it for this presentation. And then here's a country version of it. You probably, how many of you heard of Amos Raber? You probably heard of him. Some of you have. Let me see your hands. I believe we should stay clear of Amos Raber's music. I don't believe his music will take us a good direction. It's a country style, but it's got the rock beat to it. Country and rock, by the way, have merged, and they're, you know, it's got almost all your popular music out there has I believe a bad beat to it, and this does as well. So just a Christianized version of country, and I believe his music will take us. And that any type of music of that sort, it's just connected to it's just a bridge right over into country music. It's not come before God and out with a pure heart to worship Him. And then you have the Mennonite groups that have an a cappella version of your Southern gospel type that. And this is Garment of Praise. There's many of them out there. And it's just more, let's have a good time. Let's just, you know, put on a little performance and, have some good words. But yet, it's more just, entertainment, more performance oriented. And it's just, it's not a pure, godly, reverent sound.
With Jesus, when
a lot of the songs are more light.
Gonna talk with Jesus, saved by His wonderful grace. When I get to heaven, gonna...
That's enough. So one of the downfalls that musicians all throughout the years have fallen to is taking the glory that belongs to God. Wasn't that the downfall of the very first musician, Lucifer, there in the beginning? Amazing ability. His responsibility was to turn people to worship God, right? He was supposed to be doing what those babes were doing in the temple, right? Hosanna! But instead, he began to focus on himself. He wanted to exalt himself. And that right there, brothers and sisters, is the downfall of many, many groups today. Because instead of giving honor and exalting God, they're seeking to they're looking around, figuring out how them boys exalt themselves, and they just add a little twist here and add a little twist there, and their music ceases to be pure worship. So I hope that gives you just a few tools, a few principles. God said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. What happened to Lucifer? He was kicked out of heaven. And I often think of Romans 1:25. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. God is blessed forever. And so often in these groups, what do? Listen to that bass. Who's being exalted? The creature rather than the Creator. And listen to that. Did you hear how they did that? I love this group because, you know, and the group is being exalted rather than the Creator who's blessed forever. I've listened to Harold Dean Miller. I don't know if you have known him, but I don't have the CD, but his family, they made a CD. My mother has it. And I don't know, there's something about that CD that's just, it's so pure. It's so worshipful. It's so sincere. I believe God accepts that. And there's other groups too. I believe are wholesome, are helpful. But above all, I'd like to encourage us to sing. Be a worshiper of God in spirit and truth. Learn to love and delight in His presence as David did. Devote your whole life to Him. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Ephesians 5 says, and be not drunk wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like to play just here of something I think. I mean, there's more than this group out there. This is one of Altar of Praise, and we listen to them quite a bit. And I think this is something that I believe is acceptable. It's not exclusive, but just a pure worshipful sound.
Delight inaccessible He from our eyes, most blessed.
Okay. That's, not sure what happened there. Anyway, that's basically it for now. And so, yeah, maybe there's some questions. Maybe it is pretty much time to close. Maybe there's some questions. So, but yeah, just if we can get a hold of what it is to really worship God, where He's exalted and not man, I think it'll give us a good foundation to sort through the whole big tsunami of music that's out there that we have to face today. And tomorrow we want to talk about the power of music, the power it has on us for good or for bad. And so, are there any questions here? And I'd like for the elders here or any of you other ministers to feel very free to correct or balance or straighten out anything. Yes, brother. Yeah. Yeah, I think that especially if it's a thing where you really see their heart, I guess you might say. You know, where you see that's just performance. That's just, to me, I have a hard time accepting anything else. You know, Johnny Cash, that's farther out there, but a country singer, he also sings Christian. But when I know that he can just do all this other stuff, and have this, offer this, I can accept that. And when I see, you know, there's, it's probably a distraction here. I'm not sure what doesn't power off. Anyway. Okay, that's my problem. Okay. Yeah, I've done that. When a young person has given me music to go through, and it's terribly hard to do that. It really is. I hate doing it. But since I stuck my neck out and started talking about this, and then they come to me. But yeah, when I see, you know, there's, you know, decent song, but then here's one where the same person can also do this. It's like, you know, if they, it's kind of like with Gaither there, if he can, you know, bless this guy, can I really sit at his feet then and drink from that? You know, I really wrestle with that. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but I would definitely have a big caution there with that. Yeah. Reminds me of the story of of Joe Grady Stevens. I'm not sure if you Honey for a Child's Heart stories, and they have a story on there of this boy who came and said, "Dad, can I buy this new CD? Everybody in church has it." And, "Well, how's it like, son?" And he says, "Oh, it's really good. Well, there's this one song that's a little bit, yeah, but overall, it's really good. Everybody else has it. Can I have it?" And then he doesn't answer him right then, but he uses an object lesson. Dad makes some brownies, and he blends up a whole egg, shell and all, into the brownies. And he tells, that kind of leaks out then. And he uses that, you know, his son wouldn't eat the brownies anymore. And he says, you know, one little thing off here can spoil the whole thing. The recipe was followed perfectly except for that one thing. And they use that as a warning against, you know, one bad song should really, yeah, we probably shouldn't listen to the rest of it. Very good. Anything else? Any of you young people have questions? Well, I hope that's helpful. And tomorrow we'll look at the power of music. So yeah, pray for me, may I just desire that these things could inspire us to be true worshipers of God. And because I think if we really get a hold of that, and we're like David, we love God. We want to yield our lives to Him. We fear God. It'll be a real safeguard against the false worship that's out there. So, God bless you. You're dismissed.